For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, December 24th, 1983. First service of the Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Irma Miller is the speaker of the evening, speaking on living stones.
And I thought for a minute that Ruth was going to preach the sermon. That's perfectly all right, because however the Holy Spirit starts leading, that's the way we should flow. And in 1 Peter, you can turn there, 1 Peter in the second chapter, it talks about the living stone. So I didn't even have my Bible down there. And Glenn even, I used that as an excuse, and he says, no, I'll go to the house and get it. I didn't go home tonight because it's so slick up around our house, and I have to have Kevin or Terry or Glenn or somebody to help me in there and down that hill. So in the meantime, I picked up a living Bible upstairs in my office, and I began to read it about the living stone. And the very first verse, it really caught my eye, because it says, the first words of the second chapter of the book of 1 Peter said, get rid of all hatred. That's all it said. One line, get rid of all hatred, in the Living Bible. Now, in the meantime, I looked around and I found another King James Bible that I use sometimes. I have one Bible which I study out of all the time, and the poor thing is falling apart. I'm trying to get used to another Bible, and so I have two or three that I'm trying to break in at once. But let's read it in the King James. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, see, that has to do with hatred, and all guile, which has to do with hatred, and hypocrisy, which has to do with a facade that we like to make people think what we are when we aren't, and envies, and all evil speaking. Now, as I go along, if any of this pricks you, and you realize that you still have this in your heart, then that means that you need deliverance. And there's not any person in here tonight that doesn't need some deliverance. If we were all delivered, you'd know it. And anybody sitting out there, we'll know it when you're all delivered. The power of God will be so strong upon you, this anointing will be so strong upon you that we'll all know it. And we won't have to tell anybody. Second verse, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. What that really is saying, that we will crave the word of God like a baby cries for milk. You know, you let a baby get about 4 hours from a feeding and he starts crying for his milk. And he'll cry louder and louder and louder and louder until he gets it. And the Lord wants us to cry out to him and to be as tenacious about reading the word of God as a baby is tenacious about his bottle. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now we all know he's gracious. He's full of grace and glory. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Peter here is talking about all of us. We are stones, and we're building a house of the Lord. And every stone, every one of you is different. Every stone in that fireplace over there is different. Any place you look at stones, they're all different, and they have to be fit together. Now, you may not like the stone that's sitting next to you, but there you are, right there. And these stones rub one against the other. And when Kevin first came to us about 11 or 12 years ago, or however long it's been, he used to call me Mrs. Sandpaper because I was always rubbing him. But he didn't realize that while I was rubbing him, he was also rubbing me. And the Lord was using him to rub the spots off of me, the sharp parts of my stone, and I was used by the Lord to get the stone the sharp places off of him. And so we rub together. And all of us in the body of Christ, we are lively stones. That means you're alive, doesn't it? Not old dead stones, but we're lively stones. And we're always working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And it isn't easy. You know, you can be pretty spiritual when you're home by yourself, can't you? You can just sing and there's nobody to tell you you're out of tune. And, or why are you singing that? And can't you get on the right note? You know, you can be so spiritual. But you just get a few people together and they'll tell you quick you're out of tune. Why are you singing that song? That's not appropriate. All of that, see. And we have to work together and we have to bear with each other. Because it isn't an easy thing to come into perfection or maturity. It isn't easy at all. In fact, it's tribulation. And we will never become manifested sons of God, according to Romans 8, until we've suffered persecution, until we've suffered tribulation. And we will never be overcomers without tribulation. Now, some of you may think, well, the Christian life is all joy and peace and hallelujah and glory to God. It isn't. We're not here to tell you that. It's a walk by faith. It's suffering. It's hard. But we're going to come forth as hardened soldiers. Do you think that those Marines would have ever been capable of being over there in Lebanon if they hadn't had all kinds of hardship in boot camp? They'd have probably told the president, we're not even going. You know that? So the Lord says that he wants us to become hardened soldiers. And I don't mean hard-hearted, but being able to bear a few things without grumbling and complaining and carrying on about every little thing. We need to be able to bear things and put up with things and be long-suffering and patient. You're being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now there is a scripture that says, they that worship idols will be confounded. Their minds will be confounded. And we don't want to have a confounded mind. We don't want to be worshiping idols. They that bow down to idols, I believe is what it says, will be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation. How many believe that? A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And I don't mean peculiar, silly peculiar. I mean set apart peculiar. We are set apart, peculiar people. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we were praising the Lord tonight, and I felt the angels of the Lord all around this place helping us praise Jesus. And I felt the power of God and the anointing come down upon us. Even though there's a few of us, the Lord was here with us. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name. And I was thinking about the upper room. They were all in one place. Here we are, all in one place. And all in one accord, worshiping the Lord. And we were tonight in one accord. I felt just a real flow of the Spirit. Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which has not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Do you know that God is merciful to all of us? We have a lot of mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. When you lust for the things of the world, that wars against your mind or your soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or to governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Are you to that place yet? When somebody reviles you, do you revile not again? When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. I think we can all testify to that. We were once astray, but now we have been found by the Lord. I'm not going to talk very long. I see it's already 9 o'clock. But I'm going to tell of a few experiences that we've had in the early days of our deliverance ministry, when we didn't know very much, but we thought we knew a lot. You know, how that is. So we're very dangerous when we know just a little bit. But we have to learn by doing. And one day, we had our grandson, I think he was about 5. He was going to kindergarten, and our daughter worked. And so she would take him to our daughter-in-law's aunt, who was Cousin Emmy of the Grand Ole Opry. And she lived in Southern California, and she would walk him to kindergarten and then go get him in the afternoon and bring him home. And so we had just started going to deliverance services and just knew a little bit about deliverance, but of course I thought we knew everything. So we walked in there with him on Monday morning, and she said, "Have you had this poor little darling to church again last night?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Oh, he's too young to go to church, this poor little thing. Look at him, he's so tired." And I said, "Well, when we were kids, we went to church and rode in a big wagon, and it was 20 below zero, and we had feather beds and hot bricks and all of that, and it didn't hurt us. We went to school the next morning, and sometimes we didn't even get home till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning." And she kept on, and I kept on answering her back, and pretty soon I just looked at her, and I said, "You're full of the devil." And at that point, she just grabbed me by the hair, threw me down on the floor in her living room, kicked me, rolled me, all the way out through the kitchen and out through the service porch and outdoors. And Glenn was sitting in the car, and he saw this commotion, and he jumped out of the car, and she knocked him flat. So if you think we haven't had a few Sons of Sceva experiences, we have. You see, she really was full of the devil. There was no question about it, but that was no way to handle it. So we go home, and for days, I had real long hair at that time. I was quite a bit younger. And my hair just kept coming out by the handful. And she called me up after we got home, and she dearly loved Donnie, the grandson, and she loved all children. She just was crazy about children. She never had any of her own, and she would do anything for little children. And always had a bunch around her and always babysitting for everybody. So, and she played her banjo and her guitar, and she entertained them with all kinds of things. And she's dead now, but she was a good entertainer. I've seen her appear with the Crosbys, and she was no slouch in her entertaining. But she didn't know the Lord, and she was very brazen, I guess you would say. But she called me up after we got home sometime in the middle of the morning. And she said, "Oh, honey, I don't know what made me do that. I'm so sorry. That was just terrible what I did. I hope you'll let me keep on keeping Donnie, and I don't want to cause any trouble." And she said, "I don't know what made me do it." And I had the last word. I said, "Because you're full of the devil." But I was a long ways away on the phone, you know. She couldn't get to me. Now, you know, as many things as the Lord started opening our spiritual eyes, we would see various things on people. And when you first, your eyes are open to the things of the evil one, you don't know really what to do with it, except try to do something. And sometimes it's better to do nothing and just pray. But various times I would see things and I'd say to Glenn, look at that, look at that. And sometimes he could see it and sometimes he couldn't. But I would never really know quite what to do with it. And some of you may have the gifts of the Spirit. They're stirring up in you and you're starting to see evil spirits. And of course they're real. And of course there are in people. And sometimes you can look in the mirror and see them in yourself. And that's a little bit more scary. It's pretty weird. It was pretty scary to me when I first realized that there were things down inside of me that could speak out of me when I didn't even want them to speak out of me, and that they were evil spirits, a personality in me. And I sought the Lord for a long time. I had to convince Glenn, because he kept saying everything's under the blood and you can't, no Christian can have a demon. And our pastor said, no, you can't have a demon. You gave a message in tongues last Sunday. And my daddy, who was an Assembly of God preacher, he would just argue with me, there's nothing wrong with you, honey. You're just imagining all this. And I'd say, oh, I've got so many evil spirits in me and I want to get them out, but I couldn't find anybody to pray for me. So we went to Sweden on an airlift and Derek Prince was going to be there. And even though I was afraid of him, I wanted him to pray for me. And so I kept pleading with Glenn, go ask Derek if he'll come to our room and pray. And Glenn said, no, you don't need any prayer. And I would contend that I did. And I made a list. Even before I went, I made a list. So finally I talked Glenn into getting Derek to come down and pray for me in the room. So Mrs. Prince and Derek came and they sat down and he looked at me and he said, you feel you have evil spirits? And I said, yes, I do. And Glenn says, she's got a list. And of course I just shrunk up kind of and my list was so meager when I think about the long list of things I have had cast out of me since then, but my list was a little scratch pad. So Derek said, Mrs. Prince said something, and then Derek said, well, where is your list? And I wouldn't get it out of my purse because I was so afraid to get it out because everybody was sort of coming at me. Now, that's not really the way to deliver somebody that's already tortured by the devil. We need to handle them with care and loving kindness instead of pouncing on them and saying either you don't have anything wrong with you. What we need to do really is pray for people and not say so much. Just pray a lot, but say little. So anyway, the conversation went back and forth, and finally Mrs. Prince said, she don't want to be delivered. And all the time I really wanted to be delivered, but I didn't know anything about it. You see, we had never seen a mass deliverance service, and we didn't understand really. We didn't have any teaching like we have today, and no books at all, absolutely no books at all on evil power. And so Mrs. Prince said, let's go. And so Derek, they stood up and they left. And of course I was just devastated and I cried and I just couldn't believe that I couldn't find somebody to pray for me. Well, that was in November. And I remember we came back to Chicago, we got off the plane in Chicago and we drove, to Fort Worth to a full gospel convention. We did that convention and then we went back to California and I was tortured all winter, had no idea where to go to get prayed for, and there was no tapes on it at all. We had heard Derek, I think once or twice, give his testimony and had seen him in the summer in St. Louis and heard him give his testimony about deliverance. But in those days there was not too many people teaching deliverance at all. So in the spring, that following spring in April, a man from Oregon came to California and rented an old hotel and he was from Centralia, Washington, and he some way our neighbor found out about it, the meeting. You know, in Los Angeles with millions of people, you don't always know about all these meetings, and they weren't advertised in the newspaper or anything, but our neighbors got a card on it about it, and through circumstances that was only the Lord, and so we started going. And the meeting was to be 7 days, and it lasted 7 weeks. And at that time, I was working up in Hollywood, typing at a secret facility up there, and Glenn was not working at the time, so I'd have to get up early in the morning and go to work. Well, I would go to the meetings, and this man, I was deadly afraid of him. I didn't know when he was going to pounce upon me any moment, and all my pride and all of that. But day after day, night after night, we'd go to the meetings. We never got home to about 1 o'clock, and a lot of times I would get up at 5 or 5:30 and leave for Hollywood at 6 from the San Fernando Valley, which is about 30 miles on a freeway that was terribly lots of traffic. So then I would get home in the afternoon about 5, and we'd go again to the meetings. But some nights I'd get so angry with him, and I wouldn't go up to get prayed for because I was scared of him. And I just lived in misery, and I'd get mad, and I wouldn't go to the meetings, or else I'd say I was too tired, and I couldn't get up and type the next day if I stayed up all night, and I'd have all these excuses, which were all the devil working in me. And sometimes these evil powers would so overpower me that I wouldn't be able to go to the meetings. I'd give in to them. And other times I'd get very strong and think, I'm going to go, and I'll sure get delivered tonight. And then I wouldn't go up for prayer. And he had a common bucket, which was really, it really got to me. He had this 3-gallon waste basket sitting right up here, and people would march by him, and he would lay his hands on them and pray, and they'd all vomit in this bucket. And he'd poke your head down in there. I did go up once, and he poked my head down in there, and I thought I was getting more of other people's spirits than I was getting of my own. And I didn't like that, and I was too prissy about all this, and I just couldn't handle that at all. And then I wouldn't go for 2 or 3 nights. But Glenn went every night, and he'd come home way 1 o'clock in the night, 1:30, and tell me all about the meeting. And I'd be very interested, but I wouldn't know what to do about getting delivered. And finally, 7 weeks went by, and I remember the last Sunday afternoon, all Sunday morning, Glenn made a music tape from Mrs. Duncan and Virgie Taylor singing. And that particular time, I had to go to work on Sunday morning and finish up a project. We were all on a big project, but I told my boss that I wanted to get off at 2, so he told me I could get off at 2. I went in at 7, and I got off at 2, and I went to the meeting, and that was the end of the meeting. And I remember going home that night thinking, well, I don't know what to do. I've let this go by now. I don't know when I'll ever have another chance for deliverance. But the next morning, before we ever got up, Brother Duncan phoned us, and he said, the Lord has showed us that we are to pray for 5 couples before we leave Los Angeles and go back to the north. And you're one of the couples, and we are to pray for the couples in their own homes. And he said, would you let us come to your home and pray for you tomorrow morning? And I said, oh, by all means, yes. Yes, that would just be wonderful. And Glenn was half asleep, and I asked him, and he said, oh, yes. And so he wanted to know. He said, I'll have a driver. Can the driver come in? You want the driver to stay out in the car? And I said, well, no, he can come in. And so he came right on time, and I was ready. I got my clothes basket out. I filled it full of paper towels. I put a big beach towel down. I got this basket. I had ideas of heating up a whole basket full. And he came in, he started to laugh. He was real funny anyway. He just laughed all the time. He laughed at the demons like Whirly does, and he laughed at us. And he said, you're ready. And I said, I'm ready. And we had a sunken living room, and I was up in the dining room part, and he was 2 steps down into the living room, and we were eye to eye. And he began to pray for me. And he just rattled off about 25 items as fast as he could, binding those, and then he commanded them to leave. And I did no vomiting whatsoever. You see, the Lord says he'll deliver us. Not the way we think or the way we want, but the way he wants to do it. And it was just like a big poof of air came out of me and exploded, and I began to pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues. I hadn't prayed in tongues for so many years that I can't even remember how long it had been. I was so bound, and literally I felt chains drop off of my arms. I was just all like this, and these chains dropped off, and I became free. And I began to pray in the Spirit and interpret and prophesy. And as I was throwing my arms around, I had my eyes shut. You know, all Pentecostals pray with their eyes shut. We didn't know we could pray with our eyes open, but we learned that later. But as I threw my arms like this, I brushed his forehead. And when I did, he fell to the floor like dead. And I thought my demons had killed him. Really, I did. And I went, oh, my. And then I just started prophesying over him. And it was glorious what was coming out of me. And I didn't know what was going on. It just went on and on and on. And when he finally came to and got up, we were all laughing and praising God. And then he prayed for Glenn. And from that day on, I have been a different person. Totally different. Now, about 3 days went by, and I just was on cloud nine. And one day Glenn went downtown, and I didn't work all that week. I just stayed home and praised the Lord. And I was making strawberry preserves. We had lots of strawberries in our backyard. And I was just dancing and praising God all over my kitchen, having a wonderful time. And I had washed out a dress, and I wanted to hang it on the clothesline. And all of a sudden, I saw in my mind's eye this terrible monster in my backyard. And I was afraid to go outside to hang up that dress. By the time Glenn got home, I was just full of fear. I just saw everything coming at me. And so we didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do, and I didn't know what to do. All we knew to do was call Brother Duncan. So we called him up, and he just said, oh, that fear has come back in you. So he bound that spirit of fear, and it left again. And it has tried to come back many times. And I have to fight it all the time. We have to fight these things because they want to come back in us. It's so much part of our personality to be fearful. See, that's the opposite of faith. It's the opposite of love. And we have to be very, very alert to these evil spirits, because they walk around in dry places, and then they want to come back into us. And we have to really, it's a warfare every day. There's hardly ever a day where there's total relaxation. And sometimes the Lord will just minister to us, and there'll be a day or two where we won't have to be in a battle, and then right again starts a battle. It isn't easy, but it's glorious. Because once you know and learn about the enemy, then you can not only help others. It's very seldom you can ever deliver anybody if you've got something, that thing in you. You won't have much authority at all. In other words, if you smoke, you won't be able to deliver somebody else that smokes. Because you'll have no authority. The devil will really laugh at you. He really will. He'll just laugh right out of that person. And we need, as Christians, all of us, need to search our hearts, be honest with ourselves. Do we have envy? Do we have these things that Peter is talking about? Maliciousness, guile, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. If we have that, then we need to ask the Lord to take it out of our hearts. We need to be rid of those things. And tonight, I want to teach you just a little bit about how to get rid of evil spirits in yourself. I don't think it's very easy to get rid of them by yourself when you are first coming into it. I think you need other people to pray for you. It's good for your pride, and it's good for confession. It says, confess your sins one to another. If we could all get ourselves delivered in our own quiet little bedroom, then we'd do it, because that's what our flesh would want, isn't it? But that isn't the way it happens. And it's always what we don't want that usually we have to do. That really is usually the way it is. What we don't want is what we get, because the Lord works that way. He works that way. But suppose you, let's see, what sin shall we use? It's sin that brings the evil spirits. That's their only right, is sin in us. Now, I don't say that when you sin one time, you're going to get a devil. No, not necessarily. But you keep sinning in that same way. Suppose you're cursing a little bit every day, just a little bit every day, until one sin piles up on another sin, and pretty soon you've got a nest in you. And then any evil spirit can come in. Any of them, anything can hit you. They'll just strike you and strike you and strike you. How many have their spiritual senses exercised enough that you can feel when the enemy strikes you? Can you feel those darts? Sure. can feel those darts right away. And the minute you feel that dart, you've got to start praying and repenting right then, because there's something giving it a door. There's something giving it legal rights. And the enemy will take every little legal right he can get. So what you need to do, suppose you've been saying a curse word for about 3 days, and you find yourself saying a few extra ones. So you need to start to pray and ask the Lord to forgive you. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me by the precious blood. Lord, I admit I've sinned. I've said words I didn't want to say. Lord, will you please cleanse me by your precious blood? And you get down to being sorry for it. Really sorry. You know, you don't get very far with the Lord until you become sorry. Repentance is being sorry and turning and going the other way. And when you really feel the blood of Jesus flowing down over you, and you feel that peace coming into you, you thank him for that. You thank him for cleansing you. And then you ask him for authority. It takes authority to cast these spirits out. And you ask him for the authority. And you'll feel that authority when it comes, that anointing, that power when it comes down. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's not words you're saying, really. It's the anointing of God that breaks the yoke. And I believe as Christians, especially those that have had a lot of deliverance, I think we need to get our eyes totally off of men and upon Jesus Christ, who is our deliverer. It is the anointing that's going to break the yoke. And as this anointing comes down upon you, then you just simply command that blasphemous, cursing spirit to leave you now, immediately, in Jesus' name. And he'll start coughing out or coming out or breathing out, or you'll have some manifestation in your own home. And then you ask the Holy Spirit to come in and fill up that area. These are like pockets. Brother Duncan used to call them pus pockets. They're pockets in us that these enemies that can come and live in. And as you ask the Holy Spirit to come down and fill you in these areas where these evil spirits have gone out, you'll feel the power of God. Now, it goes to show all you logical people that have a logical mind, when these evil spirits leave and the Holy Spirit comes in, that means that you've got more power in you than you had before you prayed, doesn't it? And that's what we're after, to get the Holy Spirit totally, 100% in us, and all these evil powers out. That's maturity. And none of us are there yet, but we're striving for it. And as all the different ministries come and teach, it's very rarely we ever have a minister come in here and teach deliverance that Glenn and I don't submit ourselves for deliverance. Every time. We had the most wonderful time upstairs last fall or last Easter. When was it? And it was sort of an impromptu meeting. It was after all the convention was over, and some of the speakers were still here. And we were up in the apartment. I don't know how we ever got up there or what we were doing, but we were up there in that apartment. And we began to pray. It was the strangest thing that we began to call out, and one of the major things was fever, spirits of fever. And I'm still astounded by it. You know, the Lord can really astound you, and when he astounds you, it imprints it into your mind. And a lot of people run a fever, a low-grade fever. Some people run a higher fever. And we begin to pray, and I think it was Stan Johnson that began to cast these spirits of fever out. And Glenn had run a low-grade fever for years and years and years, and they used to tell him he had jungle fever from the war and World War II, and or else he had underlip fever or malaria fever and all these things, and he'd get a high fever, but he'd run a low-grade fever all the time, and we never knew what it was. And he and Ann Mooney both had a great manifestation over fever, and then a lot of the rest of us they called out other diseases, and other fevers, kind of fevers, and we had a wonderful manifestation. And we just sat there praying, and different ones would call out, and then if it affected anybody, you know, sometimes we get very lax about calling out these various spirits. We were in a meeting recently with, it was in the Word seminar with James Robinson's group, and after 3 days of hearing the Word, and it was a phenomenal 3-day convention. This Milton Green, every morning at 8, began to read the Bible to us. And we all sat at tables. It was 950 there the first day registered, and a lot more registered after that. And we would just, he'd read the Bible to us, and very little comment, but he'd go through the Word on various subjects, and he was strong on deliverance. And the last day, he started a mass deliverance service at 4:30 in the afternoon, calling out these spirits, groupings, and all these Baptists, they had a show of hands, how many Baptists are here, and it looked like the whole place were Baptists. And they asked how many Charismatics, and there was a few held up their hands, and how many Pentecostal, or how many Methodists, and there was a few, very few. And those Baptists were being delivered by the Word of God, and by Him binding and commanding those spirits to leave. There was manifestations all over the place. You see, we don't have a corner on this. This is going to break out all over in strong ways. And Satan should be having a nervous breakdown by now. He really should be on the border of it. Because they're after him. And when the Baptists get after him, he's going to really have a time. But that meeting went on. We stayed there for 2 solid hours of this mass deliverance. And then Ines Barron and Glenn and I left to go back to our room and to go eat supper. And another lady that went with us stayed there, and she stayed there till 8:30, and it was still going on. They were, at one point, they began to dance in the spirit all over the place. And the singer that sings for James Robinson, the girl singer, what's her name? Can't remember. What? Anybody? Jeannie. She had her shoes off on the platform dancing hilariously, and I mean hilariously, like the Highland Fling. They were dancing all over that place, the whole big group, and God is moving by His Spirit across the land. And don't ever think we're the only ones. Back in your hometown, don't think you're the only ones. There's a lot of people who haven't bowed to Baal yet. Do you know that? There's a lot of them haven't bowed to Baal. And anyone who names the name of Jesus has a right to this. Has a right to this. So don't ever belittle any Christian. I don't care who they are. If they name the name of Jesus, they have every right to come into this. And God is going to bring in, He says, I'll bring who first? The harlots and the what? Publicans? Is that what He said? Is it the harlots and the publicans? The publicans were bar owners. He says, I'll bring them in. Jesus is going to bring in whom He will, and He's going to deliver creation. Now, He's going to use all of us if we will obey and believe. Obey Him in small things and obey Him in large things. If we get our own selves cleansed. Now, He cannot use a vessel that is dirty and filthy inside. That's why we're coming into this, and I think that we're going to see a great avalanche of deliverance ministries rise up in 1984. I really believe it. I believe it. All over. All over. And you know, if you think about it, most of the Baptist preachers are the ones that's in deliverance now that has come here. The strong deliverance. And why are they? Why are they strong? Because they are in the Word. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And every one of us needs to cry after that milk of the Word. And after the meat of the Word. And I believe that there is a great lethargy over the body of Christ about studying the Word. How many here have trouble? Maybe you can read 4 chapters and you don't know a thing you've read. Do you have trouble? Well, how about it if we pray about that tonight? Would you like to do that? How many would like to be delivered from mind-wandering, mind-control powers? Now, in Brother Worley's new book, I don't know which one it is, will you look and see which book it is where that doctor, Fullenbridge, or whatever his name is, from, we hear from him every little while, but he wrote, I read an article the other day, it's in the very first chapter of Brother Worley's new book, and he tells a lot about this thing in our minds. It's eradicating, is that what that is? In the eradicating book, if you don't have those books, you need to get them. But he tells that it's a mind control spirit that keeps your mind from absorbing the Word of God. And it holds us back. And it causes our mind to wander. And I'm sure everybody here has problems with it. It's a universal thing to keep us from knowing the Word of God. Because when you can say to Satan, it is written, he doesn't have a leg to stand on. He'll flee. It'll be like the children of Israel when they left Egypt. They were glad to see him go. The Egyptians were glad they were leaving. And Satan will be glad to go when he hears the word of God, it is written. So tonight, let's just bow our heads. Memorizing. The Holy Spirit says that he will bring all things back to our remembrance. And sometimes if you use that scripture and just wait on the Lord for a few minutes, that scripture will pop up. But if you don't have anything in your computer, when you punch into a computer, there's something in there. And the Holy Spirit can bring something out if it's in there. But if you haven't read the Word and don't have it down into your heart, the Holy Spirit can't bring up something that's not there. I guess he could if he wanted to, but I mean, we have to really study this Bible. So let's all do some repenting first about our minds, shall we? All the things we put into our minds. One day I spent all day long praying and asking the Lord to remove out of my head and mind all of the things that I used to type, all the secret things and all of the government things and all the weapons and all the airplanes and the bombs and everything, all that stuff that I typed years and years and years since 1951 until 1972, just grinding out page after page and working in these big factories and working in our own plant. And I ask him to take that out of my mind and allow his word to go into those areas. You know, everything that ever has crossed our mind is in there someplace, locked up in our mind. And that's what we need to get rid of, all of the things that we're not going to use anymore. Yes, to erase it out. Let's all pray together. Dear Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And we bring our minds to you. We ask you for cleansing of our mind. Everything we've ever heard that isn't any good for us anymore. I ask you to take it out and erase it by your precious blood. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for reading things of the world. For reading books that are not helpful. I ask you to forgive me for not reading the Word enough. I ask you to forgive me for not memorizing the Word. I ask you to forgive me for all gossiping and talking with vain words. I ask you, Lord, to deliver me. From everything concerning mind control. From this spirit that holds me back, causes my mind to wander and turn away from the truth, from your word. Please forgive me and please cleanse my mind. I want to be able to know the word. And speak the word as the Holy Spirit gives me utterance. I lean upon you, Lord, and your word. Your word says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I call on you now, Lord, to deliver my mind from this mind control that it holds me captive. That has held me captive since birth. And all of the captors that have helped me from my generations back. I bring up all these sins. And I ask you, Lord, to deliver me and to forgive me. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just sit there for a moment and let the Lord just work. I command every spirit of mind control that holds these people captive, that holds me captive, that holds any of us captive, I command you, spirit of mind control, to come out of these people now in Jesus' name. Come out now in Jesus' name. Come out now in Jesus' name. Take deep breaths, gut level, way down deep, and let these start rolling out in Jesus' name. Everything that hinders the Word of God. Everything that hinders the Word of God. That's right. Let them come out. Let them come out in Jesus' name. 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 Come on out of her in Jesus' name. I break your power. Come out. Unable to comprehend the Word of God, to remember the Word of God, I break your power now in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. That's right. Come on out, you evil powers. Evil powers, come out in Jesus' name that holds us captive. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. That's the way. Just let them come. Let them come in Jesus' name. All mind control spirits. All mind control spirits from the occult. All spirits of the occult, come out. From mind control from the occult, I break your power in Jesus' name. I break your power in Jesus' name. All spirits from churches. All spirits from various churches that have held you captive, I bind you in Jesus' name. Come out of them in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out. Words, idle words, come out. Idle words, come out in Jesus' name. Idle words, come out in Jesus' name. All idle words, all gossiping words, all negative words, I bind you, come out in Jesus' name. Come on out, negativism, negativism. Maliciousness and hatred, come out in Jesus' name. Maliciousness and hatred, come out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. I break your power. I break your power. All of the lethargy, lazy mind, come out in Jesus' name. All laziness of the mind, come out in Jesus' name. Lazy minds, filthy minds, come out in Jesus' name. Filthy stories that we've heard in days gone by, come out in Jesus' name. Filthiness of the mind, come out in Jesus' name. Unclean mind, come out in Jesus' name. Unclean mind, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. You're a defeated foe. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. It is written. It is written. We have authority over you, Satan. It is written, we have authority over you, Satan. The Lord rebukes you. It is written. It is written. It is written. The Lord rebukes you. It is written. The Lord rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord rebukes you in Jesus' name. The Lord rebukes you in Jesus' name. The Lord rebukes you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I bind your power. I bind your power. The fire of God. Let's pray down the fire of God now upon this. The fire of God pour down upon the spirit. Power of God to flow down upon this spirit. The fire of God to flow down. The fire of God to flow down upon this spirit. We bind him in Jesus' name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It is written. It is written. The Lord rebukes you in Jesus' name. 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 The Lord Jesus Christ is more powerful than any evil spirit. I will not fear. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The Holy Ghost knows who you are. The Holy Ghost knows who you are. And you know who the Holy Ghost is, too. We... Krandala bafundalia sandala bandalia. Krandalia bafundalia bandalia. Rekandalia bafundalia bandalia. Kundalia sandala bakandalia sandala bandalia. Heliama sandala bandalia. Kandalia sandala bandalia. Ndalia sandala bandalia. Shut up in Jesus' name. Shut up in Jesus' name, demon. Shut up in Jesus' name.
I order. I order. I know you don't order.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.